Today's video is brought to you by Incogni. It goes without saying that in the modern day, not everything needs to be shared on the internet. Like, none of you need to know what my voice sounded like before puberty.
So once you download that, you should have the application, but you're not going to be able to run anything. So this is where I tell you something else.
And when it comes to your sensitive personal information, I feel the same way. Which is why I'm a big fan of today's sponsor. Incogni is a service which helps you fight back when it comes to the never-ending exploitation of your personal info by data brokers. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've been contacted about my car's extended warranty, and I can't tell you how many times I've gotten those stupid scam messages. You see, legally, you have the right to request that data brokers either delete or suppress your information. But the real pain in the neck is the fact that there are hundreds of them, and if you were to do it manually, you'd be doing it as a full-time job. This process, in all honesty, is a complete joke that needs some catch-up of my lawmakers. And look, while I'll be real with you here, it's kind of hard to stay completely off the radar these days. With Incogni, they've already completed 98 requests on my behalf in the past 2 weeks. Not to mention, Incogni will continue to keep me updated, assuming any of these brokers reject the requests or re-add my information. The service pays for itself with the time it saves you, and it's honestly a no-brainer if you care about your privacy in the modern day. Best of all, Incogni has been generous enough to offer viewers of this channel 60% off if you go to incogni.com/slightlysociable. And make sure to use code SLIGHTLYSOCIABLE. Once again, that's 60% off if you go to incogni.com/slightlysociable and use code SLIGHTLYSOCIABLE. Thank you again to Incogni for making today's video possible. Hello again, and welcome back to the second channel. Now, if you've followed the content for a while, you'll know that we've tangentially crossed paths with eBay every so often. When we did our deep dive into the world of smartphone trafficking, eBay was at the forefront of the problem. Additionally, when we dove into the world of grave robbing for morons, we saw how eBay has consistently failed to enforce the ban on human remains. But that being considered, these are all minor transgressions when compared to the subject of today's video. Now, I didn't know this at the time, but eBay actually has a bit of a history when it comes to addressing critics online, or anybody who reports on them, to the point that a major scandal came out a while back. And this is perhaps one of the wildest, yet underappreciated stories that have come out in recent years. This has since been nicknamed the eBay stalking scandal, which took place back in January of 2019. You see, in an ironic twist of fate, eBay's downright illegal attempt to silence online criticism not only backfired spectacularly, but also exposed the unbelievably thin skin of their former CEO, Devin Wenig. And the cherry on top was that it inadvertently peeled back the curtain and exposed the company's apparent ties to the intelligence community. Now, while the eBay stalking case has received widespread attention from many news outlets already, so much of the focus highlighted by this coverage simply focuses on the people who were the pawns in this situation. And I'd argue that very little of the coverage thus far highlights the insanity of the legal situation. Indeed, reviewing the court documents, both the defendants and the prosecution claim that the key players weren't charged in relation to this incident. And on top of that, it's not every day that the Justice Department has to step in within a civil case and classify information. And according to Eric Gardner of the publication Puck, he could not locate a single other instance where this has occurred. To put it simply, this case is weird. But before I can fully explain why, I think it's fair to ask, how did we get here? What was the eBay stalking scandal? And more importantly, what are the feds attempting to bury with this story?
Is it right for a billionaire?
What you're about to watch is a clip from the former CEO, Devin Wenig. In 2016, he was asked a rather specific question when it came to the billionaire Peter Thiel and his current ongoing beef with Gawker Media. You see, back in 2007, Gawker had published a piece outing him for his sexual orientation. And as a bit of personal revenge, he had backed Hulk Hogan's 2016 lawsuit after Gawker released an explicit tape of Hogan. Now, inevitably, these efforts put Gawker underwater, but that being said, despite whatever your thoughts are on Thiel or Hulk Hogan, before we get into this story, I want you to listen to Devin's response very carefully.
Is it right for a billionaire to put large amounts of money secretly behind lawsuits, seemingly to settle a personal score and to try to put a publication out of business?
I'm going to answer the broader question, which is, I think I side with a free media and a free press. I think we've got to be very careful. It is a nuanced argument. There's always a pull and a tug, but something feels like it's different. All First Amendment rights aren't created equal. There's a strong public interest in a free press. And rich and powerful people have First Amendment rights too. But if you allow that to be unfettered, and what that causes is a real stifling of voices and a real concentration of media, which it might, we're not going to like the result of that. And that really goes back all the way to the Constitution. So I don't want to get into all of that, but we've got to be really careful that powerful voices don't knock down what I call divergent points of view. You know, this immediate kerfuffle, I don't like the media actor. I don't read what they do. I don't find it particularly valuable.
We've got to be very careful that powerful voices don't knock down divergent points of view. Now, while this seems rather reasonable, as the story goes on, you'll start to understand why I chose that clip. Regardless, Devin Wenig's background is as follows. After gaining a bachelor's from Union College in New York with a degree in political science, he then later acquired a JD from Columbia Law School. At the age of 23, after his father's passing, he would later take over as the CEO of a pharmaceutical company, Nasdaq. And while it's claimed that he helped turn his father's company around, he would later leave his position to join the company Reuters in 1993. From here, he would go on to hold a few positions, but he inevitably worked his way up to the number two executive, where he served as the CEO of Thomson Reuters Markets, the financial news division of the media company, until he left Reuters in 2011 to join eBay. From here, he was positioned as the global marketplace president for several years, until eBay later announces its split from PayPal in 2014. Now, while Devin's tenure at eBay is marked by improvements to personalized shopping, expanded data collection, and attempts to speed up shipping times, included in many of his monologues was his repeated claim that he wanted to differentiate eBay from Amazon, leaning into the uniqueness factor of products found in their catalog and utilizing data for a more personalized experience, as a way of sidestepping the straightforward convenience shopping found with Amazon. Under his leadership, eBay performed reasonably well. But after several years, it became evident that his strategies weren't resonating as expected. eBay's growth continued to slow, and the company underperformed against its competitors in the bull market. And in January of 2019, with eBay's share price struggling, activist investor Elliott Management announced a $1.4 billion investment in the company and published an open letter advocating for significant changes. Their proposed five-point plan made it imperative that eBay needs to either A, show growth, or B, divest from non-core holdings such as StubHub and the classified ads business. This plan was in stark contrast to Devin's strategy, and they seemed to take some very subtle shots at Devin as the hedge fund emphasized the need for effective leadership as a prerequisite to implement their vision. As the letter stated, in addition to the issues raised above, the company's leadership team has suffered an alarming degree of turnover recently. eBay needs stable and experienced leadership to implement the Enhancing eBay plan. As the board is well aware, working across a 14,000-employee organization to improve operations while refocusing on the core and driving growth will require a level of excellence eBay has not exhibited in years. It would be well worth the board's time to do a full evaluation of the skills required to effectively execute the plan and manage the business for long-term success. To put this simply, this was corporate investor speak for shape up or ship out, with some news publications like E-commerce Bytes going as far as to label this an evisceration of eBay upper management. And for a bit of context, you should know that Paul Singer effectively has this reputation of being this investor that will bully CEOs out of their position to institute change. This vulture capitalist slash corporate raider has had a pretty insane track record. And ultimately, this was not someone Devin Wenig wanted to be on the other side of when it came to an activist critique. As in the coming months, his performance would now come under intense scrutiny. Any signs of wasteful spending, technical issues, executive turnover, or any news relating to the issues raised by Elliott's letter to the board could potentially be leveraged by Elliott to strengthen their case for change and potentially Devin's removal. Given the current circumstances now at eBay, Devin Wenig was now under quite a bit of pressure. But what would follow in the months to come was only continued news that seemed to prove Elliot's case. In January, the earnings call wasn't great. Within the same month, they saw a turnover of another executive. In April, e-commerce Bytes reported that Devin Wenig received a yearly salary exceeding $15 million, a figure 152 times higher than the average employee's salary. Given that this high compensation was tied to a strategic plan that wasn't yielding desired results, it definitely didn't look good. And throughout the months, e-commerce Bytes would also go on to highlight a number of technical problems that eBay was facing on almost a regular basis. And on top of all of that, and perhaps the most outrageous act of wasteful spending yet, in May of 2019, e-commerce Bytes would also report that eBay had built a luxurious replica of the famous sports bar called Walker's from New York City on their campus. Included in this article was a snippet from the contractor's website, which claimed that it was commissioned by the CEO specifically. Upon the publishing of this particular article, the contractor promptly pulled it from their website, and internally, this seemed to be the final straw that broke the camel's back. As, according to court documents, the then-executive SVP, Stephen Weimer, wrote that he was no longer going to accept ignoring the news publication as a broader strategy, and that he now wanted to fight back. Now, to set the stage for the main storyline in this situation was a blog by the name of E-commerce Bytes, a couple-owned trade publication that has been reporting on all things e-com since 1999. While previously known as Auction Bytes, it was run by Ina and David Steiner, where by all accounts, Ina is the primary author and voice of the website, and David reportedly handled the business side of the publication. By all accounts, the site has always taken a pro-seller perspective, looking out for the little guy and giving the small business owner key information to navigate the ever-changing landscape on platforms like eBay, Etsy, and Amazon. If you've ever sold on these platforms, you know what a thankless and cutthroat job it can be and what poor communication exists with these corporate entities. So for those small business owners that follow the site, it's undoubtedly a helpful resource. But that's not the only primary audience the site attracted. As a community would start to calcify, the readership on the site also extended to employees and investors in the corporate side of these companies. Given that those on Wall Street are always looking ahead to the future, any minor policy changes for sellers could forecast a variety of financial outcomes. As a result, the site became an authority and had influence on this particular domain. And while for many years e-commerce Bytes had retained a good relationship with eBay's public relations, inevitably, the reporting of news, both good and bad, was bound to lead to the stirring of the pot. According to court documents, as far back as 2009, an IP address linked to the eBay offices had shown that individuals from the PR department had been attempting to discredit the publication by placing less than flattering comments on the blog's articles. Similarly, in 2012, e-commerce Bytes had another run-in in which a member from eBay's fraud department went as far as to report e-commerce Bytes to their own hosting provider in an attempt to label the website a phishing website. While Ina would go on to post this particular letter, after reviewing it, it's hard to figure out how this, quote, mistake occurred. But upon receiving this news, Ina soon fired back and eBay later retracted their letter. And with this bump in the road, it's reported that the relationship between the PR department and e-commerce Bytes only continued to sour. According to an article by Boston Magazine, where David and Ina once had an open line of communication to the company's PR department and occasionally to senior management, they now received gruff brushbacks when posing questions. It was a bummer to be on the outs, but it didn't change the coverage. Ina kept on reporting, whether her subjects liked what she wrote or not. And come 2019, this feud with eBay would lead to something that nobody could have predicted. In early June of 2019, Ina would receive a strange call. When she answered, it was eerily silent. Little did she know that the individual on the other end was present and listening, and he would soon make both of their lives a living hell. And come June 8th of 2019, David and Ina would discover something rather troubling. Someone had vandalized their front lawn, spray painting the word Fidomaster into their fence. To both of them, the name Fidomaster, aka Unsuck eBay, was a known name within their community. It was a frequent commenter and Twitter user that often led the narrative for critiques aimed at upper management. While the couple perhaps recognized the name, as to why someone would vandalize this on their home wasn't fully clear. While it could be inferred that someone clearly didn't like what she was writing, this was rather cryptic. As fate would have it, what they had just experienced was an attempt to intimidate them straight from the eBay headquarters. And according to court documents, the actual individual responsible was a former police captain who, working at the security division, had received instruction to fly all the way out to Natick, Massachusetts to vandalize their home. Additionally, within the coming days, he would continue to monitor them, posing as a buyer at their garage sale. But this was only meant to test the waters, as back at the eBay HQ, there were already further ongoing discussions on what to do in regards to the Steiner situation. Indeed, by June, the cogs of conspiracy had already begun to turn, as Devin Wenig and Steve Weimer had already hired a consultant firm earlier that month to draft up ideas to lessen the impact of the publication. An internal proposal was first made to make company-friendly content to drown out Ecombytes in the search rankings. Additionally, another suggestion was made to ban their eBay accounts. While neither of these were followed up on June 25th, 2019, Steve Weimer would send a message internally, seeming to take joy in the new reporting Ina was giving.
Love it when a secret, we can't speak it out loud, a plan comes together. We always reserve the right to go 0-60 on our ass, but this is a huge adjustment in the last month.
While this message was apparently regarding the coverage Ina had done in regards to Amazon vs. Target on Prime Day, come August, the tone would change in the eBay offices. On the 1st, E-commerce Bytes would publish a piece regarding the RICO lawsuit that eBay had against Amazon in their attempts to poach sellers. Towards the end of the article, Ina would include a recent interview where Devin Wenig claimed that if he can have three wishes, all three of them would be for sellers to stop selling on Amazon in Germany. In the footer of the article, Ina would go on to write,
eBay CEO has been unable to stop a decline in marketplace sales, but trying to dissuade sellers from turning to Amazon and trying to get Amazon to stop recruiting sellers may not be the best tactic.
Within 30 minutes of the article's publication, Wenig would text the then SVP, Steven Weiner,
Ina's out with a hot piece in the litigation. If we're ever going to take her down, now is the time.
After sending this message, the same day, Wenig would take a sabbatical and travel to Italy for the month. Now, arguably, this was to retain plausible deniability as for what was about to occur. As back at the eBay HQ, the orders followed the chain of command, from Wenig to SVP Weimer, then to the executive by the name of James Baugh. Indeed, while Baugh was already familiar with the Steiner situation, as he had been the one to orchestrate the vandalism on the Steiner's home, it was at this time that he was given direct orders and explicitly told to take down E-commerce Bytes by whatever means necessary. Steven Weimer specifically stated that he wanted E-commerce Bytes burned down in all caps, and that he would, quote, embrace managing any bad fallout should the plan go south. Additionally, when Steve Weimer relayed the message from Wenig on August 1st, he would also be quoted as saying,
"Hatred is a sin. I'm very sinful."
Now, given that Jim Baugh was the one who was put in charge of this directive, it's essential that I properly introduce him. As his official position at eBay was the head of global security and resilience. To best understand Jim's role at eBay, the goal within this division is to protect company staff as well as plan and identify potential threats as to keep a business going on as usual. This is a rather standard role at many companies, but on that note, the culture within eBay and this pocket of employees was rather sick and dysfunctional. Comprising this division was many individuals with former law enforcement experience, but within the group, they referred to each other as family, where the dad was Jim Baugh and the mom was the supervisor Stephanie Pop. It was noted that this division had a particularly high amount of turnover, and this makes sense given the fact that the female employees were labeled Jim's angels. According to one article from the New York Times,
"True, dad could be kind of scary. Mr. Baugh was a stocky middle-aged guy with thinning hair who loved to talk and did not like to be questioned. He would often say that he used to work for the CIA. Sometimes he said his wife was also working for the CIA right now. Once he found a knife in a barbecue grill on campus. A deranged person could have used it to hurt someone, he told the analysts, and then proceeded to stab a chair. It was never removed. A warning for the timid. Additionally, it seems that whenever Jim had a plan or a point to make to his employees, he seemed to take it upon himself to wheel out the middle school TV cart and force his employees to watch a clip from a random movie. Within court documents, it states, Defendant Baugh, acting within the scope of his employment with eBay, would often call meetings where he would play movie clips in an effort to perpetuate the code of silence and the requirement that all members of the conspiracy display the utmost loyalty towards the other members of the group. This behavior was well known and could have easily been corrected or prevented by eBay. During one such meeting, Defendant Baugh played a clip from American Gangster, where Denzel Washington casually executed a man in front of a crowd in order to prove a point.
What you doing? You gonna shoot me in front of everybody?
On another occasion, Defendant Baugh played a scene from The Wolf of Wall Street where the federal government was investigating lurid activities, but somehow none of the perpetrators could recall a thing.
That is Carrera?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No.
Jack?
No.
Defendant Baugh also played a clip from Meet the Parents or Meet the Fockers about a retired CIA agent's circle of trust. And Defendant Baugh would often warn, we'll keep it in the circle of trust, when secrets within the Global Resiliency Department arose.
That's it. We're starting our own circle of trust. And guess what? You're not in it.
When it came to the situation with the Steiners on August 6th, Baugh held a meeting at the eBay offices where he would go on to present a clip from the 1988 movie Johnny B. Goode, where a football coach has to deal with a constant barrage of unwanted things being ordered to his house. Under these pretenses, he asked that other employees come up with a variety of ways that they could effectively make this movie scene come to life. And this was the plan: harass, stalk, intimidate, threaten, and psychologically torture the Steiners into submission, where they could then either step in to provide assistance as a form of a white knight strategy, or alternatively, Plan B involved the same police captain who vandalized the Steiners' home, as he had previous relationships with a Samoan gang through a network of informants, where he physically traveled to Los Angeles, where he seems to have paid a gang member $4,000 for what seems to be a contracted hit on the Steiners. Now, as this campaign came to fruition over the next couple weeks in August, it can best be described as hell on earth for this couple.
A systematic campaign to emotionally and psychologically torture the pair in order to stifle their reporting on eBay.
You also received cockroaches, a book on surviving the loss of a spouse, a funeral wreath. Your neighbors received pornography that was addressed to David. Did it cross your mind at any point that eBay could be behind this?
No, it was a psychopath.
One package even allegedly contained this disturbing mask from the movie Saw.
This is the mask the killer wears right before he kidnaps, tortures, and kills his victim.
In August 2019, Baugh directed Pop and Zay and others to set up anonymous email accounts, cell phones, and internet connections, and use them to send harassing and disturbing deliveries to the victim's home, all paid for with prepaid debit cards. These deliveries included fly larvae and live spiders, a box of live cockroaches, and a pig fetus, which was ordered, but after an inquiry by the supplier, thankfully was never sent. Simultaneously, it is alleged in the complaint that Baugh and defendant Brian Gilbert had Stephanie Pop set up fake social media accounts from which they sent threats to the victims. The messages, laced with profanity, took credit for the deliveries and were intended to look like messages from people who actually sell on eBay and who disapproved of the couple's website's coverage of the company.
And you're having a hard time even talking about it this far removed from this. What was life like? I mean, what was every day like once this, and it really is terrorism, it's corporate terrorism. What was it like once it started?
It built, every day was another disturbance, another incident, another police cruiser in front of our house. It was horrific.
Did you worry you were going to be killed?
Yes.
You really?
I saw David pull out of the driveway with our 81-year-old friend, and we had just installed a new security camera, and I saw a black van that I had seen earlier in the day follow him, and I was convinced they were going to follow him to our friend's house and attack him physically. I was terrified that they were going to break into our home.
Did you, I read that you slept in separate bedrooms once this started. Is that true?
David slept in the front bedroom to keep an eye on the front door. I slept in the back bedroom, and we thought if somebody did break into our home.
That they'd only get one of you?
Right, that the other would have a chance.
That one would have a chance to
call,
escape.
To run.
I'm not going to read these publicly because they're really profane. They're quoted verbatim in the complaint that was unsealed today. I'll give you a mild example. One from a Twitter private message to the couple on August 7th, 2019, saying, quote, "What it going to take for you to answer me? Guess I'm going to have to get your attention another way, bitch." Close quote. Another tweet on August 10th came 14 minutes after the bloody pig mask was delivered to their residence. It said in all caps, quote, "Do I have your attention now?" In the third phase, Baugh, Harville, and others flew from California to Boston to physically surveil the couple at their home and around Natick, Massachusetts. This allegedly included trying to break into the couple's garage so they could install a GPS on their car. Before the trip, Baugh and others practiced installing a GPS on a Toyota RAV4 in the eBay parking lot.
Well, we were getting bombarded with sign-ups to crazy newsletters.
Newsletters the Steiners never signed up for. Sin City Fetish Night, the Satanic Temple, the Communist Party, and dozens of others.
Over the next few days, the defendants followed the victims in a series of rental cars. They would swap them out. Meanwhile, the online harassment continued and worsened. On August 18th, just after midnight, the defendants posted a classified ad on Craigslist, purportedly from the couple, inviting singles, couples, and swingers, quote-unquote, to their house to party after 10 p.m. each night. People were encouraged to knock on the couple's door at any time, day and night. Less than an hour later, using a fake Twitter account, the defendants publicly posted the wife's name and age, coupled home address. According to the complaint, following weeks of this, Baugh next set in motion a strategy to manipulate the couple into believing that eBay was reaching out to help them stop harassment campaign. This was an effort to earn the couple's trust by having one of the defendants, Brian Gilbert, call them as a representative of eBay and offer help in investigating the harassment campaign, which of course was being orchestrated by the defendants themselves.
To put it simply, this entire thing was ridiculous. A Fortune 500 company effectively using 4chan insurgency wiki tactics to recreate a scene from a teen 80s movie in an attempt to drive a news publication out of business for what can only be best described as incredibly mild criticism. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with this old adage. If one person is stalking you, you call the authorities. But if multiple people are stalking you, you need a mental health professional. But in reality, this was an actual case of gang stalking. But that didn't stop the perpetrators from attempting to frame Ina and David as being mentally unstable. It's one thing to attempt to put somebody out of business, but to psychologically torture them, and also seemingly derive pleasure from it, as the court documents show, is rather psychotic. And all of this ended up leading back to eBay when David Steiner managed to snap a photo of the license plate of one of the vehicles tailing him, which was rented to a GSR employee by the name of Veronica Zay, who was staying at the Ritz-Carlton in the Natick area. And the cover story that they'd come up with was that they were in town for a conference. But it wouldn't be until June of 2020 that any of these details would be known publicly, where the criminal indictment detailed just how many attempts there were internally by these employees to throw investigators off the trail. Messages were deleted, certain individuals didn't cooperate, security employees were coached and even able to surveil the ongoing inquiry, but inevitably they were able to link the gift card purchases back to the surveillance footage of where it was actually purchased. While seven employees would go on to be eventually charged, the criminal indictment from the United States Attorney's Office would become a matter of controversy, as the evidence detailed in the criminal complaint cites things like Weimer's orders or Wenig's messages, but for some reason, the USAO couldn't dig up enough evidence to actually charge the executives.
I don't think there's any dispute, tell me if I'm wrong, that Wenig, who was the CEO, did say to an associate, quote, take her down.
That's correct.
Her being Ina. What do they say? I mean, that's pretty common parlance, a pretty scary thing. What do they suggest take her down means?
I don't know what they think it means, but when you're talking to the director of security, who has the background that Barr has in this case.
The guy who's just sentenced to 57
months. And you've just told him, through your legal department, that there's nothing more legally you can do. When you use the words take her down, they have specific meaning. And according to Barr, he understood that directive that came through Weimer to come directly from Wenig and to mean do whatever it takes.
He said that explicitly. It's not your...
No.
Barr said explicitly that he got it from the top boys.
He did.
Correct?
He got it from Weimer, who got it from Wenig.
We reached out to Wenig's lawyer on Friday, and let me just tell people what he said. He said Mr. Wenig, they sent us a statement, had absolutely zero knowledge of the actions of Mr. Barr and others, as was fully confirmed by an independent investigation by an outside law firm, by eBay itself, and by individuals who were involved. Mr. Wenig never knew, counseled, nor approved any of the conduct that's a subject of the criminal case. Had he known, he would have immediately taken steps to stop it. What's your reaction, and what's this independent investigation?
Well, the independent investigation was paid for by eBay. Mm-hmm. So they hired their own company to do their own investigation. And they interviewed a number of witnesses and still didn't turn those interviews over to the U.S. Attorney's Office. We don't have Wenig's interview with his company. They never turned that over. We don't have Jones' interview. They never turned that over. Instead, what the government was satisfied with, which is what our concern is to get an oral report of what these individuals said. So if Wenig had nothing to do with it, give us your statement. When I criticize the criminal investigation, I criticize it because of the way in which corporations are allowed to interact with the U.S. government.
What do you mean by that?
So when eBay found out that they were the target of this investigation, they were allowed to put together a PowerPoint presentation with a bunch of lawyers that all charge $1 million an hour and go into the U.S. Attorney's Office and make a presentation for all the reasons you shouldn't indict us as a company and any of our C-suite people. We'll give you these seven because we say these are the ones who did it and they're rogue employees. And the U.S. Attorney's Office doesn't allow people that are, the black and brown people that I represent for the most part, to ever go in and meet.
Do you ever have any of those kind of meetings with your clients?
Never had a meeting where they've allowed me to say, don't charge my client, charge this one.
It is rather absurd that Devin Wenig and Steven Weimer got to walk away scot-free, with Weimer getting an undisclosed severance package and Wenig getting a $57 million golden parachute as he chose to walk away in September of 2019, before any of this was made public. And while eBay has since had to pay a $3 million fine to the government, this was the maximum fee that could be legally imposed given the charges. Now, while the Steiners have since gone on to critique the criminal investigation's efforts as well, as it fundamentally denies them justice or closure in the situation, on the flip side, you have Mr. Barr and his attorney writing, Mr. Barr faced relentless pressure from multiple executives who have evaded criminal responsibility, including the CEO, Devin Wenig, SVP Weimer, COO Wendy Jones, and General Counsel Marie Huber, to do something, anything, about the threat, which they knew and told Mr. Barr repeatedly, could not be solved through ordinary lawyer tools. Indeed, reflecting a toxic culture that goes to the very top of many powerful technology companies, senior eBay executives hired Mr. Barr precisely because of his prior experience as a government security professional, with a demonstrated ability to solve problems through unconventional means. The Steiners were a threat that Wenig, Weimer, Jones, and Huber were obsessed with neutralizing. Meanwhile, Mr. Barr was a tool to be used and then discarded as an army of outside lawyers descended to conduct an internal investigation aimed at saving the company and its top executives from prosecution. Of course, that does not excuse Mr. Barr's conduct, although pushing back against a powerful CEO may have not been realistic. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, it's absurd to see a case with individuals on both sides claiming a broader conspiracy in regards to the legal situation. And this is where I believe a lot of other coverage on this topic misses some finer detail. Because usually it ends here. Many people familiar with this story already will attribute the criminal justice system to being biased towards the elite. And while that's certainly true, there's at least one other angle that you should consider. And that is this murky intelligence angle, where the current circumstances surrounding the Steiners case now are a bit of a mystery, because it now seems to deal with matters of national security. The So aside from the criminal court proceedings, there's also a civil case, and it's set to go to trial March 3rd, 2025. And in their suit, the Steiners have since aimed more directly at all the employees involved, including the C-suite executives. And as a result, leading up, they have since filed for additional information to be included in this case. And the information they're seeking to include is the relevant background information that Baugh has had as an employee for eBay. As Baugh's attorney claimed, he was hired specifically at eBay for his unconventional skill set. You see, Baugh wasn't just some guy who allegedly worked for the CIA. According to court documents, Baugh worked with the CIA's clandestine service. After transitioning back into the private sector, he worked for Apple, Walmart, and Amazon, and provided security for Joe Biden at the Oscars in 2016. Furthermore, it's reported that he was employed directly by Bill Gates for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Now, from what I understand, security contractors and intelligence agencies kind of go hand in hand as a sort of front for intelligence activities. It's often used to create distance from their activities and to retain plausible deniability. But if you actually read a court document in the criminal case called Defendant Jim Baugh's Objection to Magistrate's Judge's Orders on His Motion to Compel Discovery, quite a mouthful, in this document, it details his background with far more detail. As the prosecution knows, earlier in his career, Mr. Baugh was a U.S. government agent involved in clandestine activities. Later, while working as a private security contractor, Mr. Baugh was enlisted from time to time by U.S. government agencies via a handler from the FBI to conduct and assist those agencies with certain covert operations. These activities included conducting physical and electronic surveillance, engaging in physical trespass, using false pretenses and fake identities, and gaining unauthorized access to private corporate computer systems, documentation, and resources, all in support of some greater good. For example, in one covert government operation, Mr. Baugh used private corporate resources to facilitate installation of surveillance devices at a hotel to monitor a visiting head of state and accompanying delegation from a hostile foreign power. He then secretly funneled the government-provided cash back into the corporation's finance system to reimburse the costs. In another operation, Mr. Baugh surreptitiously obtained falsified corporate credentials without the company's consent to permit a government agent to attend meetings between corporate employees and a visiting foreign delegation. In yet another operation, Mr. Baugh used false pretenses to help arrange meetings between a suspected foreign agent target and an undercover federal agent who pretended to be a business consultant retained by Mr. Baugh in order to help the undercover agent form a close relationship with and obtain compromising information about the target. Mr. Baugh was consistently instructed by his FBI handler to stick to a false cover story if confronted or questioned by local law enforcement or corporate representatives about his actions in connection with these covert government operations. Given his work history, working at Apple, Amazon, Walmart, and with Bill Gates, it's apparent that this guy just gets placed in the corporate world to conduct intelligence activities on behalf of the U.S. government. And this raises a couple very big questions. What else was he doing at eBay? Who else knew of this skill set, and what were they privy to about his activities? If they hired him for this specific background, then from a legal perspective, this undermines the narrative completely that he was simply just this rogue employee. This would potentially be a crucial piece of information for the Steiners if they were trying to prove their case. But where this gets even more absurd is that there's been this additional saga regarding document 227-1 in the criminal case. 227-1 was a letter that Jim Baugh wrote to the judge for consideration on September 29, 2022, in an attempt at a more lenient sentencing. The document sat on the public docket for 129 days, and for those following this case, it was a complete bombshell, as reported by the publication Puck in 2023. In it, Baugh detailed how after leaving the CIA, he was re-enlisted to recruit private sector colleagues, even a CEO, he boasted, to spy on foreign leaders and report back on important international meetings. I felt honored to be trusted with such sensitive info and to be able to provide security assistance to our government, wrote Baugh, no doubt hoping the judge would be lenient in punishing him. Up until this point, Baugh's background had only included that he had worked for the CIA in the past. And him now saying that he was still actively working for them, and the mention of a CEO as a part of this covert effort, paints this entire story in a completely different light. There was something else going on at eBay. This was a side quest. And who was the CEO? That's a rather interesting word choice given the other facts present in this case. But come January of 2023, the court later stepped in and noticed this letter contained classified information that Baugh was not supposed to disclose and immediately sought to remove it from the public record. Complicating the situation further was the fact that this was not just filed within the criminal case. It was also filed in the civil case for evidence for the Steiners, and this effort to classify it ended up preventing it from being referenced in the upcoming trial. As that Puck article continued, the Justice Department is pushing for a pretty broad protective order in Steiner v. eBay that would prevent the parties from delving into classified secrets and exploring the relationship between co-defendants and the U.S. government. What's more, the DOJ is seeking the authority to review discovery materials before their public release and participate in depositions and potentially a trial. Through negotiations, the government's demands have been somewhat narrowed after Wenig and eBay expressed their concerns, but the Steiners are still voicing objections. Now, while this letter apparently remained on the internet for well over a year, despite it being classified, I will add that I have not been able to review the whole thing, and the only excerpt I could find was a single article that actually bothered to quote it. Come this year, though, the protective order was entered into Steiner v. eBay, and now it seems the government has effectively become a third party in this case, which has marred it with additional secrecy. To quote one article from Patch on February 5th, 2024, eBay's top officials have said that they're unaware of Baugh's work with the agencies, but this week the DOJ said it reviewed answers from the company and eBay's former CEO Devin Wenig and wrote to the judge in the matter that, although none of the answers given by company executives contained information the government wanted kept out of court, a corporate response included information they believed needs to be protected and kept out of the public eye. So while it seems that executives are claiming that they did not know about his background, statements by government attorneys also seem to allude to this idea that even if the executives did know something, that would likely be classified and should be considered as irrelevant to the legal proceedings. Like I said before, this entire saga is ridiculous, from the bizarre criminal acts, to the movie references, to the legal situation. It's a complete mess. But on the other hand, the biggest takeaway with all of this is that there is a strange eBay-CIA connection that likely exists beyond what is being seen with this situation with Baugh. The fact that he has a background of being placed into the corporate world to conduct intelligence activities brings forth a number of questions that thus far the government has deemed too sensitive for the public's prying eyes. If there is one thing that's for certain, though, it's that Baugh didn't have a personal vendetta against the Steiners. It was a company issue, seemingly ordered from the top. And a rather alarming aspect about this case is that many corporations have security divisions, and if the executives face no consequences here, it raises concerns about future deterrence. While we can be thankful that the situation did not escalate to the involvement of a Samoan gang, one can only hope the Steiners receive proper justice in their civil case. While it has since been reported that eBay has set aside some $64 million in liability for this whole ordeal, it's definitely going to be very interesting to see how this all unfolds. But as we await new details, if there's one quote I'd like to leave you with, it's that we have to be very careful that powerful voices don't knock down divergent points of view. This is Barely Sociable. Have a good night.